Welcome, everybody, to episode number 58 of the Average Jake Firefighter Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Owens. Before we get with the topic of the day, really just want to give an update on a couple things going on here at Average Jake HQ, as we like to joke about. First things first, been a great honor to be a blogger, podcaster in the fire service, I'm just a small fish in a really, really, really large pond, and that's okay. It's not even something that I think I would want, is to be one of these, like, world renowned and known speakers and get hit up all over, to go all over the country. I like going and teaching, but it's not something that is, like, needed for me to be fulfilled, right? I like spending time with my family, and I like going and doing other things. I like being at work. Like, I often wonder how some of these guys work their shifts, because they're always on the road and always traveling. But neither here nor there. But I really enjoy doing it. It's something that it spawned out of with the blog, where I just felt like I had something I needed to say. And it even goes back further than that, to where I had I would call into a fire service radio show that was broadcast on, two of them actually. It was broadcast on the Bravest Online, who was a fire video site, hosted a internet radio show, and me and a couple of my buddies would call in and debate topics with guys and gals out there in the fire service, and it was really cool. And then a buddy of mine, Rhett Flights, started the Firefighter Netcast. And that was something that, like, when these guys started doing that stuff, and Rhett was already blogging, and Willie Wines was already, and I felt like this is something that I could do, right? Like, this is something that I could do, and I should do. I feel like I don't have a voice where I work. I feel like I'm stagnating. I feel like I've got so much to share, but I don't have any way to share it. So I'm going to start this blog like all these guys are doing. And much like this, didn't put a whole lot of funds into it. I it was a free WordPress site, and I just was blogging about my thoughts and blogging about things, and just, you know, the name Average Jake, it just kind of came from, you know, Jake, of course, being firefighter, and average just because I'm just an average firefighter, right? Like, I'm not, there's nothing special about me. I'm just a guy I'm what I think an average firefighter should be, right? Like, I love the job. I'm into the job. I read the fire service periodicals. I watch fire service videos, and I'd like to think that that's what most average Jakes are. But I also know that I'm trying to model that behavior that I think the average Jake should be. Again, I'm not a big guy. I'm not, like, if you've ever met me in person, you know that I'm not, like, this larger than life character, right? Like, I'm just not. I'm actually kind of boring, to be honest with you. Like, most of the nights I spend at home are watching sports with my kids, and I like sports gambling, you know. But other than that, I'm pretty boring, man. I like sitting at home. I'm a homebody. I don't really like, you know, going a whole lot of different places and try, you know, I'm kind of a homebody, you know, and I come by that honestly, because my father's a homebody. But yeah, I mean, so it all started with that, and then it evolved into the blog, and the blog's been great. It's enabled me to have a little bit of a platform, and then to spawn the podcast, which was really where I should have started all along. I just didn't know how, or didn't know if anybody would relate to it, and clearly there's, you know, people out there that appreciate the podcast and have appreciated the blog, so long story short, the blog is going to go away for a while. The hosting site that I've been hosting it on, First Arriving Network, they've been great. They took it from they upped the production value. They gave me the Average Jake Firefighter domain name, like all this stuff. They paid for the thing to get redirected from my old blog. So, like, if you put in the old address, it would go to the new site. Like, they ported all the files over, but they have decided to get out of the blog hosting business. And that's okay, because really I've been focusing on the podcast more. I think the last thing I posted was I think it was about face, right? And we've talked about that a lot on the podcast. So for those of you that enjoyed reading what I write, I still may, like, publish some things in some other avenues. Like, I've thought about starting an Average Jake Facebook page, just so that I can, like, if I feel like I have thoughts that I want to write down, I can put. I am going to get all the files, hopefully, from first arriving, and they're going to send them to me. And I've even thought about, like, just doing, like, a self-published, like, Lulu book, like, put them all in there and let people buy just the best blogs that I think they're at. So, but just wanted to give anyone a shout-out. If anybody, you know, anyone that's been trying to contact me through that, it's not happening anymore. You can contact me through all my social media sites. I've put my phone number in here 1,000 times. You know, all that kind of stuff. So feel free to text, feel free to call, feel free to DM, all that kind of stuff. It's just that the blog, the averagejakefirefighter.com, the blog, that's going away for a while. Will it come back? I don't know. I still have access to the old free WordPress site. And so I could start uploading things there again if I wanted to, especially if I have all the files, or I'm going to get all the files from that. So, and most of the things I already have anyway, because I usually write the blog in Word and then post it into the WordPress when I did it. So I have most of the things that I've written anyway. With that being said, anybody that's ever read it, I appreciate you. Anybody that's ever taken the time out of your day to click on that website, it's been a great, great thing going on. It changed my trajectory in the fire service. It really did. It gave me an avenue to speak my mind. It gave me, now it's not come without some sacrifices, you know, but I probably would have never been able to teach at FDIC, never been able to teach at Firehouse Expo, never been able to go on all these other podcasts, and meet some of the people that I probably would have never met Willie Wines if I didn't blog. I would have never met Andrew Catron. I would have never met Andy Starnes. I would have never met John Dixon, Ryan Pennington, all these great guys that now, like we're friends, right? Like, I text these guys. I talk to them. Like, you know, just a couple months ago, a Richmond firefighter went to Tennessee and saw Andrew Catron, and he said, "Do you know Robbie and Danny Owens?" And I was like, "Yeah," you know, and that's just how, like, we've it's grown and it's expanded, and so it's just been a great experience. I'm going to continue on with the podcast, but for now the blog is going away. So just big thanks to anybody that's been out there, that's ever clicked on that website, that's ever read anything that I've ever written, whether it be on Fire Engineering Online, anything, you know, Fire Engineering Training Community, the blog, anything like that. It's appreciated, so don't think it's not. But just right now, the podcast, coming up with episodes and coming up with content to put out and quality content, it just it takes up a majority of my time. I'm not a just random content pounded out type writer. I just don't do that. Like, I have to feel inspired. I have to feel, you know, like the topic's poignant. And so I just, that's kind of why the blog has kind of gone away, because the best ideas that I've had, I've wanted to put on podcast form. So anything that I thought about writing about, I was like, you know what, let's do a podcast instead. Let's do the spoken word versus the written word. And so that's where we're at. But again, thanks to everybody. Let's not belabor the point anymore. Let's get on to the topic today, where we're going to be talking about expectations, writing assignments, and mission and vision and values, and what they mean to me, and some of the examples that I've set out there in the fire service and the places that I've been. So let's get after it. If you expect nothing from somebody, you are never disappointed. That's a quote from Sylvia Plath, actually, and it is a great segue into what we're going to be talking about today. And I got to say, a little bit inspired by the National Fire Radio, where they were sending out some things and asking if people had writing assignments, right? And what their writing assignments were, and they wanted people to send them to them, and they were kind of compiling some data about what writing assignments and what tools people carry and all that kind of stuff. And I wanted to take it a little bit deeper, because I'm a firm believer that you cannot expect a level of performance that you don't tell anybody about. Have you ever worked for that guy? You ever worked for that boss who is constantly, like, has this high standard but never tells you anything, right? Never tells you until you screw up, right? They never lay anything out, and I hate that, right? I do really good when you tell me what you want me to do, right? Because if you leave it up to me, I'm going to do it my way. And you may not like my way. So if you want to like it, you should just go ahead and tell me what you want me to do. You should tell me what my expectations were, you know, what they are. And I really, really function well in an environment like that. And they don't have to be like super strict, right? They don't have to be, they can be as detailed or as not detailed as you want. I know one of my greatest mentors in my current job, he always called it the cow pasture. He's a country guy. And he was basically like, your compass points got to go north. And here's your pasture. Whereas if anybody knows anything about a pasture, it's got boundaries to it, right? It's got a fence. And he's like, as long as you are moving forward and operating in between these two boundaries, you can do it any way you want. And he would lay out what the boundaries were. He'd be like, you can't do this or it has to be this. And I always really functioned great like that. And I felt like it was creative because I knew I could be as creative as I wanted to be, but because I knew my boundaries, right? And I knew where I needed to be heading. I couldn't go backwards, had to go forward, but I could go side to side, then go forward, right? And as long as I didn't, I could even brush up against that boundary. But as long as I didn't cross it or I didn't break out of it, I could create some things, and it was great. I really enjoy working in an environment like that where people tell me what's expected of me and then they let me go. But what I found out, though, is sometimes that you do have to be a little more strict, or you do have to be a little more, you know, you can be, sometimes if you're vague, people take advantage of you. And that sucks, but that's people, right? And so what I want to do, I want to go through some of the expectations that I've laid out. And I want to talk about the expectations that I had when I was an engine company lieutenant, and then as a station captain, and kind of how they evolved and how I evolved with those positions, right? And then I want to talk about the engine company riding assignments that I always utilized when I was an engine company lieutenant, and the example that I gave to people when they would be like, hey, what do you use for riding assignments, or what do you use for this? And I don't really call them riding assignments. I call it a playbook, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But let's start when I first got promoted to lieutenant. I was going to a place I'd never been with a group of people that I'd never, I was moving shifts, moving to a place where I'd never been, moving to a district I'd never been in. And so it was important to me to let these guys know what I was all about. Because most of them didn't even know who I was. Like my very first day, I got on the engine with two guys that I'd never met before. So that can be scary for everyone, right? Like they don't know anything about me. I don't know anything about them. And, so it can be pretty, pretty scary, thing to do, but that's real life, right? That's real life. Like when you do that, when you take that promotion, that's what they're expecting you to be able to go do that. And so one thing I will say, a cautionary tale, I was so eager to let these guys know what was going on. I emailed them my expectations. Oh, what a freaking mistake, dude. Instead of just waiting to my first day, instead of just like, you know, doing it in person, you know, pulling them aside. Nope. I had to jump the gun and send them to them, because the way that the department did promotions was, I found out I was getting promoted and where I was going almost a month before I ever got there. So I was really eager because, again, anybody who's into the job, you know that you've got your reputation is going to precede you, right? Like, in fact, I was already getting phone calls from guys that I did know that were there that were concerned because I was replacing a lieutenant who they did like, but he was not very gung-ho. A lieutenant had come in that was very gung-ho, a guy who I knew very well, and I knew what he was all about. And he was very like train, which I'm the very same way. And let's get after it. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. Let's have some fun while we're doing it, but let's get after it. And most of these guys knew that I was the same way. So they were concerned that they were never going to get a break because now there's two guys, like they had a buffer before. And now there's two guys that are super into this and they were very concerned that it was going to be all go, no quit, no fun, like all that kind of stuff. So I didn't help that at all by emailing these expectations before I ever even got there. And it took me a while to overcome that leadership mistake, right? But at the end of the day, it was important that I lay these expectations out. I should have done it in person. I should have done it, you know, on my very first day. Should have done it over breakfast, right? Like, I should have come in and just made everybody breakfast and laid it out, right? But I didn't. And I made that mistake, and it took me a while to overcome that. So I would recommend that you do them early, but not before you ever get there. Not before you've unpacked your other locker and loaded your stuff into your new locker, right? Like, and it may be even okay to take a day to see how, but I've seen that backfire, right? Like, I've seen these guys, I'm going to wait a whole cycle or four or five shifts to see how these guys operate and then change. No, like I've seen that backfire in people's faces, because guess what? Now you're responsible. You're in charge, okay? And what really in charge means is that you're accountable. You're accountable for everything that these guys do, whether you've been here one day or whether you've been here 1 year. If they're going to do something if I'm going to be held responsible for that and accountable for that, I want to let them know right off the bat. Let them know right off the bat what's going to be expected of them. Because if I'm going to be in charge and I'm going to be responsible, then they need to be able to perform at that level. Because again, you cannot expect a level of performance that you don't share with anybody. So let's get into it. These are the expectations that I laid out on the very first shift that I ever was a lieutenant of. And they're similar to some of the original ones that I was given as a rookie firefighter. So shift expectations. The first one, show up on time and ready to work. Now, I always put like a small little paragraph of what that meant. Okay, afterward, right? Because again, some of that can mean different things to different people. And sometimes you can tell them, show up on time and ready to work, but how is that vague? Yeah. Show up on time, ready to work may mean something different to me than it does to you. So I always, after each one of these expectations, put out a little blurb behind it. So expectation number one, show up on time and ready to work. And the blurb behind that, the call load at Fire Station 13 is tremendous and dynamic. We need to ensure that when we are reporting to duty, we are ready to relieve the off-going shift immediately. The expectation is that at minimum, by 0700, you have relieved the off-going shift in your specific riding position and are ready to respond to a call. And so that actually can rub some people the wrong way, because shift starts at 0700. Some people think that means they have to be there by 0700, and really, in reality, like, you have to be ready to work at 0700. So you can't be the 6:59 person, and still be ready to work. So you're late, right? You're late if you're not ready to run a call by 07. And so that was one of my biggest things, and that's still one of my biggest things, is that you got to be here. I mean, there's a reason that I get to work so early. One, because I need that time to be ready by 7 o'clock, right? Like, I typically these days with what my, like, I used to get to work an hour early. Now I'm probably like an hour and 20, hour and a half early, because I need that time. I'm doing more. My responsibilities have changed. So I'm even getting to work even earlier. Expectation number two, complacency is a firefighter killer, and it's unacceptable. When we become complacent, we open ourselves up to mistakes. Some that might be critical and prevent us from completing our mission of high-level service delivery to our customers and returning home safely. Simply put, we will always maintain the highest level of operational readiness and deploy appropriately in all situations. Even simpler, if it is a fire, until we get there, properly investigated, and determine it's not. And that's something that actually, like, in our department is still kind of a big deal, right? Like, complacency, because I hate to admit it, but man, we don't go to a lot of fires. We're probably 83 to 85, maybe even higher EMS runs, right? Like, that's what we're doing. And the other ones, a lot of them are fire. Like, we maybe out of, I think we did close to, I think we're like 48,000 runs this past year. And I think like maybe 600 of those were real fires. That's not a lot. I mean, that's not a lot at all. And that's spread out across three shifts. So, and three shifts with each with three battalions. So, I mean, there's some rookies that have been out for a year that haven't gone to a fire yet. It's pretty sad, but that's just what it is. But that complacency thing, man, like we just it's hard. It's hard to continue to do some of this stuff. So that's why I think it's important to lay it out there, like, you know, and we're all gonna make mistakes, right? Like we're all gonna make mistakes. And I think as I read these again too, and I read them before, and as I read these, some of these things like actually make me cringe a little bit. It's like, as we're always, you know, like I was probably taking myself a little too serious when I wrote this, right? Like and maybe a little bit egotistical, right? Like, because like I'm never, you know, it sounds like I'm saying I'm never complacent, right? And like everybody knows we're human, so you get complacent about things. But you know, I think it's an important expectation. I probably would have worded it a little softer as I've become a little wiser. This one, expectation number three: never sacrifice your safety for your comfort. Appropriate levels of PPE and BSI will be worn for all emergency responses. What is appropriate? Full PPE on MVAs, full PPE and SCBA on any structural response or anything with the word fire in it. If you have any questions as to what you should wear, look to your company officer. Man, some people got so pissed about that look to your company officer line, right? Like, but that's true, right? Like, I always did that. As a rookie firefighter, I was like, man, the boss is getting dressed. I guess I'll get dressed. Right? Like that's like insane to people get mad about it, but they do. The sacrifice, never sacrifice your, I'm still that way, right? Like I still, like when I, the rare chances that I get to drive an apparatus these days, when I, especially a special service company, I'm getting geared up, right? Like I've got my coat, my boots on, and I've got an air pack. When I get out, I get an air pack on and I get my helmet on and I'm ready to do some work. As an engine driver, I at least drive with my bunker pants on. I've just always been that way, and I've gotten, now that we're kind of exiting the pandemic a little bit, I kind of got out of it a little bit because people were like, don't wear your bunker gear on an EMS call, you know, because contamination, yada, yada, yada. Before that, man, middle of the night, in my bunker pants, doesn't matter the run, I'm wearing my bunker pants, and I don't take them off, even in the summertime, man. I'm a big believer, and I don't take my gear off until we're back at the firehouse. It's hot, yeah, it sucks, I drink a lot of water, I sweat a lot, I probably run through some t-shirts, but getting dressed in the back of that apparatus, one, it's not safe, two, it has, if you have to pull over so that I can get dressed, so that we can go to this next call or fire, like, that's just delaying response, man. I hate that. So I don't sacrifice my PPE and my safety for my comfort. If we take a run in, I'm leaving that freaking coat and boots on until we get back to the firehouse. When we get back to the firehouse, I'll take them off. Now, and I ride up on the battalion car a lot after 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, man, I'm getting in my bunker pants if there's a run. You know, one, because I need to be in my bunker pants, you know, like, especially if I'm going to go downstream, to be a division or group supervisor. Two, like, it's just, it's faster, right? Instead of having to get dressed and put on my pants and put on my boots and zip, it's faster, and I want to be fast getting out the door. So it's not about comfort, it's about safety, and it's about doing the right thing. Expectation number four: the right thing to do is always the right thing to do. Oftentimes throughout our fire service crew, we'll be faced with the choice of the right thing or not. We often know what the right choice is, but for whatever reason, sometimes we choose a different path. Quite frankly, I'm not concerned with what the other shifts, companies, etc. do. My concern is what we do. The other shift didn't get fuel, then we'll get it because it's the right thing to do. The other shift didn't relieve us in a timely fashion, we will continue to relieve them in a timely fashion because it's the right thing to do. And again, that was one of those things that just kind of was born out of, I hate shift wars. I hate them. I don't participate. Because one, inevitably, you're going to screw up, right? One day, you're going to forget to get fuel. One day you're gonna forget to start the dishwasher. I'm horrible about the dishwasher, by the way. I just don't care about it, right? Like, okay, I forgot to do the dishes, whatever. If I have to hand wash a dish, I'll hand wash a dish. If I have to start the dishwasher, I just don't care. So a lot of these things I think are petty and they're just dumb. So I just don't care about them. And so I care about what we're doing on our shift. Like, we're gonna do the things that we need to do. It doesn't bug me that they didn't go get fuel. Let's just go get fuel. Okay, we're going to get fuel. It's fine. They didn't wash the fire truck. Okay. You know, the things that bother me are the performance type stuff. If they didn't pack this hand line back the right way, man, then we're going to dump it in the floor and we're going to pack it back. And then I am going to speak to their boss because that's unacceptable, right? Like, that's going to affect us at 0700. You know, it's just those things, like I said. So, you know, I'm concerned with what we do. I don't like the shift war thing. This is one that I had a hard time with at first. It was very, very And I had to learn this lesson, right? And sometimes I still struggle with it. I still struggle with it. But this was, again, one of my mentors, he laid it out, and he's just the perfect example of this, and I wish I could be more like him. We do not personalize problems. We simply fix them. In our 24 hours on duty, we will respond to multiple types of calls. Some, in our opinion, may be a waste of time and resources. However, this is not for us to determine. When someone initiates 911, no matter how insignificant we feel their problem may be, we still need to provide them with the maximum amount of service delivery and professionalism expected of us. Remember, they can only hurt you for 24 hours, and then you get to go home and take a break. That's something I still do struggle with sometimes, because I do run calls and I'm like, man, this was bull crap. This is a bull crap call. But at the end of the day, that's what we're here for. We're here for service. It's not personal. They don't know who's working at the firehouse, right? Like the person at home doesn't go, ooh, B shift's working today. I know that damn so-and-so is on duty. Let me call him over here for no reason and screw up his sleep. That's what we think though, right? Like, that's how we make it sound, and that's how we make it feel, and all those type things, but that's not true. That's not how it happens. That's not what happens. It's not any of that, right? Like that's just not it. So don't make it personal. Don't take it personal. Don't make it personal. Don't take it personal, man. Like, just move on. Do the call. Smile at them. Be nice to them. This is one that's kind of evolved a little bit for me as well. And I think there's some specifics in here that I still believe, but I read these before, but I'm drawing a blank right now. I think I eliminated this from my captain level expectations, right? And so this expectation, when you're at work, be at work. We all have other things going on in our lives, part-time jobs, family, other interests, etc. However, our job and its nature determine that we be focused on the task at hand in order to not only ensure we mitigate the incident, but sometimes to survive it. Make sure your family is squared away so that you can focus on your tasks and be able to go home and see them the next morning. Obviously, emergencies happen and will be handled when they arise, and we will work to ensure that you get to go where you need to go. Family still first. But like I said, try to take care of it prior to coming on shift so that your duty day can be dedicated to service delivery to our customers, training, etc. And I still do believe part of that, but I've definitely softened on that a lot. And I think it's important. And it's softened on that as I've realized, you know, how much more important to me my family is. And this was at a time when, like, I was more consumed with the fire service. I'll be completely honest with you. And I wasn't being a very good husband and good father. My wife may disagree with that, but I didn't feel like I was being a very good husband and a very good father. And so now the part-time job thing, oh my God, that still fires me up to this day. I hate when people are doing their damn part-time job. I got fired from a part-time job because I refused to take calls when I was at work. I was like, I'm not doing this. This is not my real job. And they fired me for it. Like, I was selling fire apparatus and ambulances. And I would not take sales calls while I was at work. I wouldn't do it. I was like, no, I'm at work. I will get back to you tomorrow when I'm off. And man, the company that I was working for, they did not like that. And I told them that when they hired me. They still hired me. And I just was like, F it. Like, you know, they were like, yeah, we're going to let you go. I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. If this is what you expect of me, then it rubs up against something I don't like. And I still don't like it. I've had conversations upon conversations with people and I've softened on it a little bit because I realized that some of these part-time jobs are how these guys are making their ends meet. But man, I still hate it when people spend majority of their day doing their part-time work. Like I told one guy, I was like, you have to give something to the fire department today. You can't just sit here and do your part-time work. Like, that's not what you're getting paid for. That's not what this is about. Like, you have to give something to the fire department. You want to do it after 4:30? Rock and roll, man. Like, you can stay up till midnight doing your part-time job after we have trained, after we've watched the fire truck, after we've, you know, gone out in the district, done our, you know, all the stuff that we need to get done, all the inspections and the checks, and we've trained and we've run calls and all that kind of stuff. You want to do it after dinner, after business hours, man, rock and roll, dude. But man, like, you're going to sit here all day and try to do your part-time job, or you're going to stay on the phone all day with your wife and kids. I call my wife twice a day. I usually call her right when she's taking the kids to school so I can talk to all of them. And then I call them at night after dinner time, probably around like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night to check in on them. Sometimes more than that. But for the most part, like, I don't sit on the phone with them all day. I don't, because I have to be at work, and I need to be at work, and I need to be focused. So I've softened on that a little bit, but man, like I still, some of it still like irks me. And so I would, I don't believe I added that in my level of expectations at the next level when I was a station captain. Next one, training is the cornerstone for successful fire department operations. We grow, we succeed through training. We're going to train a lot. The tactics, technology, EMS component, etc. of our profession are changing every day. Couple that with the growth of the district, and that equals a lot of work to be done, just to stay current and at a minimum standard level. We will strive to go beyond that minimum standard and be a model company in the Division of Fire. I still believe that, still practice that to this day. Everything is changing rapidly in the fire service. Everything's changing rapidly in the department that I work in. So you can't just be, you know, and we're getting new people day in, day out. So you can't just be stagnant. You have to go. You have to work. So I think it's pretty self-explanatory. This is something that, this next one is something that I didn't always take serious, but I do now. I still do to this day, and that's physical fitness. Simply put, the next expectation, physical fitness is not optional. Most of you are already doing this, and that's great. This is important for your career and post-career survival. Most firefighters die of heart attacks. More firefighters die of heart attacks than any other reason in the fire service. Our cardiovascular system is asked to perform at 100% of its capacity for sometimes hours at a time. The metabolic output of a firefighter in full PPE and SCBA on a fire is the same as a United States Navy SEAL on an operation. The Navy SEALs require elite physical fitness. Whatever you do, make sure you're dedicating portions of your duty time and off-duty time to physical fitness level. This will benefit you on the fire ground and once you retire. This is also a major topic in the division right now and was asked about in the many promotional interviews. And that's true, like, and it's still a major topic. We've expanded our physical fitness even since then. I mean, I got promoted to lieutenant in 2013. And now, like, we do a work performance evaluation, a physical fitness assessment, physicals, mental health evaluations. Like, we're doing it all. Like they're coming at you from a multitude of different avenues with the physical fitness piece. And so, and again, like, as we get older, you have to adjust a little bit, but I still work out 3 to 4, probably, you know, maybe even 5-6 times a week, depending on the week and depending on the time, but I at least minimum 3, minimum 3 times a week, and just about all those are on duty. And I have physical fitness stuff here at home, and I do other things, but I mean, I'm working out a significant part of my time, and it's important, and it's always going to be important. I don't look like a fitness model, I don't have six-pack abs, but I get out there and I work out. I mean, and I do my thing, and I try to lead by example. And so it's just not optional. It's not optional for this profession. If you think it is, I think you're foolish. I probably would have worded it different, though, to be quite honest with you. Again, like, too wordy, too much on the backside of it. Pretty self-explanatory with that one. I should have just left it. Next one. You control your attitude. And this is something I do struggle with still to this day, but it's true. We deal with things that we do not like every day. We can either choose to let those things drag us down and dictate our outlook on life, or we can choose to be positive. Showing up to work happy and positive is contagious. Negative attitudes are poison and can ruin a fire company. We will all have bad days. In those times, it's our duty as a good teammate and good coworker to lift each other up. No matter what's happening in your world, you choose how you respond to it. Make an effort to be positive. And I still believe that to a point, even though if it's tough, and there's a lot of negative guys out there, and I just choose to try and ignore them and don't play into their negativity. You know, it's tough, and when I'm being negative, I try to, like, not project that on to someone. I try to, like, sometimes I even just, like, walk away if I'm feeling like my attitude's kind of shitty, so I don't infect them with that negativity. Accountability, next expectation. Accountability. I'm not talking about fireground accountability, although that's important. I'm talking about accountability of actions. When people hear this, they often think of the negative aspect. However, accountability can and should be positive. When given tasks, the expectation is that you complete them appropriately, professionally, and meeting any deadlines put forth. We will always overpraise for good performance. And that's still true. Like, if you do a good job, like, I probably tell you 50,000 times, but accountability is not necessary. Accountability is only bad if you're doing the wrong thing. Period, end of story. Accountability is only bad if you're doing the wrong thing. If you're doing the right thing, man, accountability is great because you're going to get praised for your work. Next one. Be aggressive. And we're coming to the end of these expectations. Be aggressive. Aggressive, not unsafe. Aggressiveness has nothing to do with your geographic location to the fire. It has everything to do with the actions you're taking. Standing next to a fire with an undersized hose line is not aggressive. Driving past hydrants is not aggressive. I've kind of changed on that. Not wearing PPE and SCBA are not aggressive. Laying in on a smell of smoke is aggressive. Carrying the high-rise pack on an investigation is aggressive. We will deploy aggressively in all emergency incidents. And I still believe that to a point. I've changed my opinion on driving past hydrants. It was beat into us that water supply was the most important thing ever in this fire and in my fire service career. But with the studies come out of UL, with everything that Kurt Isaacson's been doing in Escambia and all these places all over the place that are doing stuff with booster backups and rescuing people and the way fires are burning these days, I'm not so much on the dry, laying out as much. I think water supply is important, but it's not. It's kind of like where they changed CPR, right, where there was like ABCs, airway, breathing. We found out that circulation is the most important thing, right? So CPR, hands-only CPR has been the most important. We were always like, got to get that intubation. Well, it's not. It's not necessarily that in a cardiac arrest anymore, right? It's all about pumping on the chest. It's all about pumping on the chest. And you can get the airway later because as long as the stomach has some rigidity, right? Like as long as that diaphragm is still good, you're getting some ventilations when you're doing chest compressions. So same thing with all that, right? Like water supply is not as important. It's still important, but it's not number one. But other than that, like I still believe exactly what I like. Just because you're standing next to the fire doesn't necessarily mean aggressive. You can be stupid standing next to a fire, right? Like you should have the right hand line. You should be dressed appropriately. Like all that stuff that you need to be aggressive. Like it, you need to have your gear on. You need to have your SCBA on. You need to deploy hose lines appropriately. Like all that kind of stuff. Like pull the line off the rig. That's aggressive, right? Like, oh, you saw a little wisp of smoke. Like, pull a line. That's being aggressive, right? Not pulling a line. Like, going in and standing in the middle of a kitchen that's on fire. Like, ooh, I'm being aggressive. That's not aggressive. That's idiotic. So, I still believe in that. And then lastly, the last one on this is have fun. Have fun. A lot of things in this list are serious. While our job is serious, we must have always treat it with respect and professionalism. We must still remember to have fun. We're firefighters. We get paid to do some of the coolest stuff in the world. It was my dream to become a firefighter, and I feel lucky to get to do it. Be proud to work for the Division of Fire. Be proud to come to work at Station 13 on C shift. Remember why you wanted to do the job in the first place. Training, going on calls, being at the firehouse is fun. Let's make sure we remember that and never forget it. And so that's the end of that list, and I still believe that to this day, right? Like, having fun is a big deal in this job. Having fun is one of the whole if you didn't like it and you didn't have fun, like what's the point, man? What is the freaking point? Because this job is hard, dude. Like this job is hard. Like, and if you're not enjoying it, if you don't enjoy doing it, then man, it's going to be a rough career for you. It is going to be a rough career. And so those are the expectations I laid out as a lieutenant. Those are the expectations I laid out as an engine company lieutenant, and it was a two-company house. We had a rescue company, and we also all rotated to the fire medic unit or ambulance that was there. Then, of course, a couple years later, get promoted to captain. And as I grow, I definitely felt like my expectations changed, right? And what I thought, and especially because I was growing into a new role, going from just leading a shift to leading an entire fire station, right? And now that's, of course, like, we don't want to talk about, like, what happened to that, right? We kind of got rid of station captains in my department. But at the time, like, I was lucky enough to be the station captain of two different stations, and I really enjoyed that, right? Like, that's kind of what I wanted. I wanted to have my own little section of the fire service and where I could set the operational tone and set the pace and all those kind of things. And that started with the mission, vision, and values. And so when I got promoted and I went to that station, I wanted something. And I gave them this detailed list of expectations, and we're going to go over that as well. Gave them this detailed list of expectations, but I also wanted to have something like this, where we were going, like something that they could reference that was really quick. And I printed and I put a picture of the firehouse up, and I wrote this little blurb up, and I put it all over the firehouse, right? Like, and this was the mission, the vision, and the values of this particular firehouse. And it's kind of short and sweet. I still put like a little blurb behind each one, But it's pretty short, and it was no more than a page. In fact, the picture of the firehouse took up most of the page. So this was the mission, vision, and the values of this. So whenever you thought your compass point was getting a little bit south or east or west, and it wasn't facing north, you could read this and you could know, like, all right, if this is where we need to head, this is where we need to go, this is what we need to do. And so mission, vision, and values. Engine and Fire Medic 7 exists to provide protection from fire, medical emergencies, and other hazards, as well as provide service to the citizens of Glenwood Farms and Henrico County. We do not minimize or personalize problems, we solve problems. As an engine company, we will respond to the fire as fast as possible and extinguish it to protect victims and save property. As a fire medic unit, we will provide excellent ALS and BLS care to the sick and injured. We carry this mission out by doing the following. Training. We train every day on all fire and EMS topics. We need to know everything we can so that we can help everyone we can. Fitness. We gave up our choice to be out of shape the day we decided to take the job. Physical fitness is mandatory. Operations. It's a fire until we say it's not. We deploy aggressively to every incident, apparatus positions, water supply, hose lines, EMS gear, PPE, SCBA. Nothing showing means nothing. Nothing else matters if we fail at this. Attitude. You control your attitude, so make it a positive one. Negativity is a firehouse killer. Service. We exist to serve, and we do it with a smile. Service is why we're here. Ownership. We own the good, the bad, and the ugly. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, there's no one else to blame but us. And that was the mission, vision, values of the firehouse. So took that long, and some of those are similar to the other list that I had, but took that and put it down into something that was more digestible and more tangible, right? That was something, and again, I hung it all over the firehouse, in the bathroom, like in the day room. Like, if you walked in that firehouse, you found this document, this picture with the stuff. And if I had been left there longer, I was going to make like plaques with it on there, right? Because that is, I really felt like that sets the tone when you walk in the firehouse and you can see that. You can see the mission, vision, values of the fire station. And the second station I went to, it's still hanging up. Like, these guys took that down when I left there, which was fine. But the second firehouse that I went to and gave these same missions, the only thing I did was change the number of the engine in the medic unit. That's still hanging up there. And it's something that you can, it's a compass point. Your minimum job requirement right there. There it is. Right. And that's the mission, vision, and values of a firehouse. And I think that's important. You know, organizations, fire departments, businesses, they all have mission. But why can't your firehouse have a mission, vision, and a value? Like, that's what my mission and what my vision and the values that were held, that I hold near and dear, and they're in less than a page. Mission, vision, and values for your own fire station. Talk about having pride in your place where you work. Like, that is important. And again, you cannot expect a level of performance that you don't share with anyone. You can't expect it. And so, moving on to... So I just think that's important. And if we ever reinstitute station captains, or I'm ever in charge of a company or a group of people ever again, I'm still going to put those out there. So this is the, and then we're moving on to the expectations that I laid out as a captain. And I gave a lot of these to my lieutenants, right? And I wanted them to share with their people. I wanted them to share with their people, like the shifts, you know, I wanted them to share with what my expectations were of myself and what my expectations were of them, right? And they needed to know that, because I didn't want to, it's a different job. I was in charge of three lieutenants, and they all had like 5 to 6 people underneath them. And so I wanted to make sure that they understood that I have an expectation for myself, how I'm going to do this job, and this is the expectations that I have of them, and it's also onto their people, right? Like, this is an expectation of you and your shift. And so I broke it down with, first, self-expectations. And it said, I'm your captain 24/7, 365. My job is not just a when I'm on duty job. Feel free to call me anytime with anything. Even if I'm standing in line for Space Mountain. My wife is a huge Disney fan, and we go a lot. If there's an issue and you need me, call me, text, or email. I don't like surprises, and I'm sure you don't either. I will do everything I can to feed you information. I ask you to do the same. I'm here for you and your team. It is my job to help you in any way that you need. Promotional aspirations, ALS class, venting, It's my job to get you what you need. I'm new to this job and I'm learning. I will make mistakes. Please be patient and supportive as I adjust. I have no intention of running your shift. That's not my job. However, I do need to know how your shift does business so that I can integrate with you all when I'm on duty. I believe in the end user having the decision-making ability on things like hose loads, nozzles, etc. I will only get involved in a matter when an agreement between the three lieutenants cannot be met. So that right there laid out what exactly I was going to do and how I was going to do it. And a little bit of background. The station captain worked a rotating shift where he did duty days with all three shifts at his fire station so that he could evaluate lieutenants and the people and see how the shift was running. I really enjoyed that. It was confusing at times, and it was challenging, but it was fun. I liked working with all three shifts. I liked being at the firehouse with all three shifts, and you know, it was just good. I liked getting exposed to more of the fire department because right now I only get exposed to a third of the fire department. I was getting exposed to the whole fire department that way. It was really fun and really challenging. I'm not saying it wasn't frustrating. It wasn't all peaches and cream, but it was fun. And so then moving on to expectations of them, and it says expectations of you. Mission first. And you'll see how some of these, as I read them, you'll see how they evolved from being a lieutenant with, you know, a younger lieutenant to now more seasoned, more experienced. Still put some blurbs behind them and what I mean by them, but just more pointed and some different things, right? Like some of the same, but some different things. Mission first. Please remember our mission is the most important thing. Coincidentally, the things that help us complete our mission should be the most important things. Simply put, calls for service are the most important thing. Apparatus checks, equipment checks, training, and physical fitness make doing our mission possible. A clean station is important, but should not be the priority over the mission. Do not get me wrong. I do not want to live in a pigsty, but I also do not want those things to prevent us from accomplishing our mission. And so that kind of was bred out of like a lot of places where we were focused on the wrong things, and I wanted this firehouse and all three of those shifts to be mission-focused. Like, if you didn't sweep the floor, but you stretched lines for 2 hours, okay. You know, sweep the floor tonight, or we'll get it tomorrow, right? Like, you know, do we need to sweep the floor three times a shift? Probably not, especially when you're using it as an excuse to not go out and train. You know, to me, I still believe in that. The mission is first. Nothing should interfere with us running calls, period, end of story. Right? Like, and everything that goes into that should also be like the most important things. Anything else other than that should be on the back burner. And if we get it done, we get it done. If we don't, we don't. It shouldn't be this ridiculous, like, time frame stuff. The next expectation, training. Minimum 1 hour every shift. Sunday can be optional. And I still believe that. Make sure you are utilizing out of service time at the drill school as well. A cycle should not go by that hose does not get pulled off the engine. Our department is young. We must counter this by training as often as possible. In the past, we used to take it easy on Saturdays and Sundays. However, with the experience level we currently have, those days are gone. If you had a rough cycle, obviously gauge this appropriately, but do not pass on a chance to train, especially on an acquired structure. Develop a training plan for your shift, a daily focus, if you will, and let me know what it is. Again, that's laying out pretty clear what I expect. I still believe that, and I've talked about this on other podcasts, and I'm thinking about doing an article actually about it, but not all these drills have to be like the most like killer drill you've ever done. You can go out there. We had a prop at that firehouse where like that engine had speed lays, so we made a speed lay prop, and we would just move the prop and stretch it to different doors at the fire station. That's all you got to do. We did it in our station where sometimes we did it in shorts and t-shirt and fire gloves. Like, why? Like, but that's valuable sets and reps. Valuables. And we would even like clutter up the bay of the firehouse so you had to stretch around obstacles in our shorts and our t-shirt. Like, that's valuable. That's sets and reps. You don't have to, you know, do all this other stuff, right? Like, it's just crazy to me that people think that training only matters when you're like in full PPE and SCBA and all this kind of stuff. Like, it doesn't have to be that way, and you can still get valuable stuff, but you should be doing it every day, minimum an hour. Physical fitness, kind of the same. I even, like, lessened this, kind of the same as in the mission, vision, values. Physical fitness, 1 hour shift minimum. Physical fitness isn't optional. Even on the medic unit, you're responsible for making sure everyone in your shift's working out. Boom, plain and simple, still believe it, still practice it. communication. I need to know when people are hurt, things break, things go good, status of people, DPO, their DPO training, their acting officer training, ALS training, blah, blah, blah. Who orders supplies, etc. Cannot feed me too much information, and I want to be notified no matter on or off duty. I would probably go a little bit different path with that. I still need to know all those things, but I probably don't need to know if I'm off duty. You can just send me an email. But, like, at the time, you know, I was very, like, I want to know. And the DPO, like, I have to sign off on all that stuff, so I want to know the progress of it because it's all time frame based. So I still believe in a lot of that. I still believe in communication. I think that if and a leader, you just have to be, you have to tell them a lot, and you have to want to be told a lot. So even if it bothers you, even if it bugs you, like, let them leave you a message, tell them to email you, tell them to text you, whatever, but, like, cutting off communication doesn't work, and we see that failure daily in every business around the world, our country, our nation, whatever. Next one, attitude and morale. Again, negativity is a cancer, positivity is contagious. We choose our attitude and our morale, so choose to have a good one. If you feel the need to be negative, call me or vent to another officer, but not to the people you supervise. Along with that, make sure you do not personalize others' emergencies. We do not take things personal. We solve them if we can. Again, very similar attitude and morale. Again, next expectation, don't sacrifice your safety for your comfort. Same as before, shortened it a little bit. Make sure you're always in appropriate PPE for every incident. Hot, cold, rain, sunshine, put on your gear for anything, any fire or any MVA related, that, and wear the needed EMS gear. Pretty self-explanatory, but I shortened that a lot from the other one. Gossip. This is something, man, and it's still bad in our fire department, but gossip, and this is a funny little anecdote. Gossip. My meemaw told me the reason she has her clothesline on the back of the house is so that people driving by can't see her dirty laundry. We're going to have dirty laundry. Let's make sure we're keeping it in our own house. I dislike going to another firehouse and hearing people talking about people from my station when that information should be none of their business. Additionally, let us stay focused on our own things. I'm not a fire department rumor mill guy. And I am not still to this day. I freaking hate the fire department rumor mill. Hate participating in rumors. Hate participating in all that stuff. Hate it. Don't want to be involved in it. Sometimes you get dragged into it, but I don't like it. I don't like it. Some people, they live for it, right? Like the fire, some people call it the firehouse beauty shop, where, like, it's just a bunch of gossiping people in there talking about this person, that person, the other thing. I can't stand it. You know, but whatever, it is what it is. And I try not to get into it, and I try to prevent it when you can. And I still believe that. Support. This is different because I didn't really ask for a lot of this as a lieutenant, right? Because, you know, it just, and I feel like it's something that maybe it's something I have developed. I'm not the perfect follower. Please don't get me wrong, man. I'm not the perfect follower at all, but I'm a better follower than I ever have been in my career. So support, like I said above, I'm far from perfect. I will make mistakes. I ask that you do not kill me or the organization at the table. Decisions will not always be popular, but it is our job to lead through them and keep focused on the mission. And I still believe that. And again, I'm not always perfect at it, but I try to be better than, you know, I try to be better than average, right? Like, if average 50%, I'd like to think I'm in, like, the 60 to 70% range. Maybe I'm giving myself too much credit, but support, man. Like, you've got to, like, an example of that would be if someone that you know in the department doesn't get, like, someone you know in the department gets promoted and you don't think they should have gotten promoted. Well, guess what? They got promoted. So the worst thing you can do now is not support them, because if you don't support them, they're going to fail. That means their shift fails. That means that part of that firehouse fails, and that means the mission fails, and we cannot have the mission fail. So, and I've had that situation. There are people that get promoted all the time that I don't think should get promoted, right? There are people that have gotten promoted over me that I'm like, that's insane. Cannot believe they promoted this guy. What the heck are they doing? But now, like, I got no choice but to support them. Even if I don't even like them as a person, you got to support them. You have to, right? You have to support. Now, you don't have to go out of your way to help them, right? Like, you don't have to go out of your way. You don't have to be, like, their best freaking friend. But you do have to, like, when they make the decision, if they're the boss, like, you know, you have to support them. Even if you don't agree, go to them in private, but in public, you got to support them. You got to be like, yes, sir, we'll do that, boss. You know, like, okay, boss, you know, like, you got to do it. pride. I'm not talking about one of our core values, although that is important. I'm talking about being proud to work at the Glenwood Farms Fire Station, and not only that, being proud to work for the Division of Fire. Things are not perfect, but we have it pretty good. Let's make sure we keep things in perspective and be proud and happy to be a firefighter and work at the station we do. Still believe all of that. Still believe all of that. Things are still not perfect. I wrote these in like 2017. Things are still not perfect. Things are never going to be perfect. But at the end of the day, I'm still very lucky to work where I work. I'm still very lucky to get to be a firefighter. I'm still very lucky to have made the friends and the organization that I've had. I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky. I'm blessed. I really am. I'm blessed that I make the money that I do, right? Like, not everybody makes the money that I make working where I work. And that's a part of it, right? Like, I don't do this for the money, but man, it's a blessing that I get paid the way that I do. It lets me do things outside of the fire department that I really enjoy. I don't have to blink to go on vacation. I don't have to figure out how I'm going to pay for it. Right? Like, it's awesome. It's more money than I ever thought I'd ever make being a firefighter. That's for daggone sure. But, you know, keep it in perspective. There's places that have it a lot worse. Like, there's firefighters that are not getting paid overtime. There's firefighters that are, you know, have horrible equipment, horrible gear, get force hired every day. I mean, there's some crappy situations out there. So when you think about it, like, we do have it pretty good. Just because you don't, you know, just because you're not 100% happy doesn't mean that you don't have it pretty good. So yeah, I still am. Still proud. Still believe that. Reports, response times, target solutions, leave, discipline. I know this is not the fun stuff, but it's important. We need to make sure it gets done. Stay off the naughty list with unfinished reports. Get out of the house fast. Put what you do in target solutions. Document issues need to be documented. Make sure you document the good and bad so that the performance appraisals can be written. So that's a big one too. I keep notes, right? And some people are like, oh, you're such a scumbag for keeping notes on people. Well, no. How am I supposed to know what you do? How am I supposed to remember that you did something really great a year ago, right? How am I supposed to remember that? And especially when it comes down to performance appraisals, they're an entire year. How am I supposed to write your performance appraisal if I don't write it down? Because I'm not going to remember that. And then you're going to get pissed at me that I didn't write it down and you didn't get credit for it. You didn't get your outstanding performance appraisal. You only got an above average, right? So, like, you got to keep notes. You got to do so. It's not the sexy stuff. It sucks. I don't like sitting down and having to do reports or target solutions or I don't like disciplining people. I freaking hate it. I freaking hate it. I hate it. I just want us all to come to work and train and work out and go on calls and do good at them, right? Like, it's not that hard. Like, you know, it's not that hard. But some people are knuckleheads, man, and you got to discipline them. And it's part of the job. If you didn't want to do it, you should give up your bars, right? Like, that's part of it. And then lastly, I ended it again with have fun. This is the best job in the world. We get to do some pretty awesome things and get paid for it. Do not forget. Enjoy your time as a firefighter and make sure that your shift does as well, because when it's done, you're going to wish you had it back. Lastly, invest in yourself and your team every day. Keep me in the loop. Take care of your people. Be aggressive but safe and send everyone home. So I still believe that, right? Like, I still believe, like, have fun. Like, and as I have less time left in the job than I have on now. And as I start to, and I'm still 11 years away, 10 years to 11 years away from retiring, I'm starting to feel that, what am I going to do without the fire service? I am starting to reminisce quite a bit on the last 18 years and even further back than that into my volunteer. I was looking at old volunteer rigs the other day, right? Like, I'm starting to have to come to grips with the fact that I'm not going to be a firefighter soon, right? 10 years is going to go by in a flash. Like, it's going to go by so quick. Right? 10, 11 years, and that's just turning 50, right? Like, even if I stay on 12, 13, 14, that's still, I have more time on than I have left, right? I'm not staying another 18 years. I'm not doing it, right? I'm not staying another 20. I won't. So I have to come to grips with that. And it's going to be tough. I'm going to always want to be involved in the fire service, but still, it's awesome, right? Like, this is a really great job. Like, it really is. Like, it's a really great job, and if you don't feel that way, then it's probably time to go do something else. It really is. So as you can see, those expectations kind of evolved over time, and And if I wrote some today, they'd probably evolve even further. I definitely would want to not have, like, maybe even be even shorter, even less, more mission, vision, values oriented. I feel like I read in About Face, Robert's Rangers, back in the Revolutionary War times, he gave like all these guys like just these standard orders. It was like 16 of them, and there wasn't a whole lot of like detail behind them, right? And I think like I would like to do. And then I read about somebody who like always gave his company officers. It was like an index card size, or even like business card size, with like that was his kind of like mission, vision, values, and he just gave it to them so they could always have it on them, right, laminated, whatever. And it was like 7 or 8 things. And I feel like that's the route that I would go more these days instead of being so detailed. But what I would also do with that, like if I were to be in charge of a station again, or if I were to ever get promoted to the battalion chief level, and be in charge of an entire battalion, I would be less on the actual written expectations, like less detail, but I would also communicate more. I would have those meetings, and I would communicate like I really like, there's a battalion chief who does every Sunday, all the company officers call in on a conference call in his battalion, and I really think that's awesome. And he tells them everything that he can tell them. They tell them what's been going on with them for the cycle, you know, yada yada yada, so on and so forth. I think that's awesome. I mean, because this guy's in charge of freaking, you know, 20 or so lieutenants, right? Like, so, well, the Western Battalion has 8 fire stations in my department, like 8 fire stations, and some of them have 2 lieutenants. In fact, a majority of those guys have 2 lieutenants, you know, so he's in charge of a lot of people. So he can't go and meet face-to-face with everyone, even as much as he'd like to. So I really think that, like, I would be a little less detailed, right, and a little more on the communication side, like giving more feedback and giving more frequent feedback and more constant feedback and more detailed feedback instead of being so detailed on the front end. And I don't know, maybe I would change that, but I feel like I like the mission, vision, values more than I like the expectations at this point. I really feel like that's the better way. And that's the better way to communicate it. And that's the better, you know, it's something short, sweet. You can't remember but so many things at a time. But like, if you have something like that can constantly, you know, remind people where we should be going and whatever, like, I really believe that. And I would probably do something more similar to that as a battalion versus sending out these detailed expectations. Or maybe I would do kind of like I did, where I would, the mission, vision, values would be for the firefighters and like for the company officers, like to reference, but the company officers that I supervise would have more detailed expectations. I really feel like maybe that's the good combination. I don't know. I'd really like to hear everyone's feedback, to be quite honest with you. So I was going to go into engine company writing and tool assignments, but I think we're coming up on over an hour of this podcast, and so I really like to keep these short and sweet, and so, you know, I would like to keep them an hour or less. So I think we're going to save engine company writing assignments for the next episode, and we'll go deep into some of the philosophy behind why I do what I do, and why I like the engine company, and why I call it not tool and writing assignments, more of a playbook, right? Because you'll see as we talk into them, that it is more of a playbook. It's calling a play and practicing a play, and why I like to do it that way, and why I think it's been successful for me, and all that kind of stuff. But I think with that, because I could probably talk another hour and a half about those things. So we'll save that for the next episode, and we'll just call this one Mission, Vision, Values, and Expectations. And I think it's been good. It's been reflective for me, and I hope it is for you, like how your expectations can evolve and change over time, how detailed maybe you need to be. Maybe you're not being detailed enough. Maybe, and this is something that one of my mentors said to me, is that maybe you need to provide different expectations for different people, right? The junior firefighter, the rookie firefighter, has different expectations than the senior man. And I think that's spot on, right? Like, the senior firefighter, you know, the senior guy in the company, or an acting officer, or a chauffeur, or whatever, they maybe shouldn't have the same expectations, right? Like, do you really got to remind that guy to wear his gear? If you do, then maybe he shouldn't be the senior guy. All of those things. And I think maybe that's the way to go. And again, I'd really like to hear some feedback on it. You can tweet at me, DM me on Instagram, DM me on Twitter, text me, call me, 804-641-8310. That's my phone number. You know, what do you think? Put it out there on some of the Facebook groups. I'd love to see it and love to comment on it. What do you guys think about expectations? What expectations are you giving to your people? How valuable do you think they are? Do you think that's all bullcrap, right? That's okay too, right? But just give me a reason. Don't say it's bullcrap without a reason. So with that being said, I think we'll end the podcast here. And like I said, the next episode we'll focus on, we'll get to more of the sexy stuff, right? Like the engine company riding and tool assignments. And I'll try to go back and find some of the truck company and rescue company ones that I had. And that'll give me some time to come up with those. And we can talk about riding and tool assignments for all three of those different unique apparatus. And that'll be an episode in itself. So with that being said, I can't do what I do without the support of some great companies. The first, Vanguard Safety Wear. Vanguard Safety Wear, the makers of the MK1 Fire Glove. Those things are made for work. I wear them every day. Every day. I'm wearing currently the MK1 Ultras. They have the MK1. They have the Squad 1. They have their MK1 Ultras. They're awesome. They've got all sorts of cool stuff that's out there. They even have these gauntlet style gloves now that are pretty freaking neat, to be honest with you. I wonder if I can get my hands on a couple of those to try them out. But they're just awesome. So go to VanguardSafetyWear.com or DingusFire.com to get you a pair of MK1 Ultras, MK1 Regular, the Squad 1, the gauntlet gloves. Vanguard Safety Wear, made for work. Second, IDLH Technology, TacticalWorksheet.com, makers of the absolute best command board that's out there. I've just been in contact with the creator, and I'm going to bring him on the podcast. He's a fire chief. He created this board. It's by a fire chief for fire chiefs, and he made it the exact way it's got. He's going to explain it on the episode that we get him on, but it is awesome. I love it. I use it when I'm riding up on the car. I have one of the mini command boards that I keep on my person in case I have to go down range and I have to keep command. Like, it's just awesome. They're the greatest stuff ever. So go to tacticalworksheet.com. He's even got training videos on YouTube on how he makes the board work. So it's just awesome. If you're a command nerd like I am, and you are find yourself riding up in a position where you're utilizing a command board, go give it a try. Guarantee you won't be disappointed. That's IDLH Technology, tacticalworksheet.com. Taylor's Tens. Taylor's Tens, makers of the freaking best metal helmet fronts on the market. You can't find better. Most of these things are like drop down menus, and you put the clip art on them or whatever. Not Taylor's Tens. You're going to go to taylorstens.com and you're going to be given custom art on any kind of idea that you can think of. They also make playing cards, pump cards, all sorts of things. Anything that they can make up, anything you can imagine, they can probably do in the tinnery. So go to taylorstens.com. Stop burning up leathers. Start wearing Taylor's Tens. And lastly, the Fire Ground Commander Conference, Central Virginia Firefighter Conference, May 23rd through May 25th, 2022, Henrico Theater, Henrico County, Virginia. In my opinion, and I might be a little bit biased, the best value in the country of any fire conference out there. This is our fifth fire conference that we've put on under the Fire Ground Commander name, and it's awesome venue. For $175, you're getting a bunch of speakers, lunch provided every day, a social Monday night, and snacks and drinks provided every day. Check out this lineup: Frank Viscuso, Jason Patton and Dina Ali, Jonah Smith and Jonathan Brumley, Bill Gustin, James Johnson and Basil Ibrahim. Like, that's an FDIC level lineup right there. That's an FDIC level lineup that you're getting for $175, lunch included all 3 days. Monday, May 23rd, that's going to be Frank Viscuso, Jason Patton, and Dina Ali. After the conference ends, we're going to leave the Henrico Theater, and we're all going to go to PBR of Hanover, Pizza Beer in Richmond, Hanover branch, and have an awesome social where we're going to raise money for the Central Virginia Burn Camp. We're going to have pizza, great beer, good fellowship. It's an awesome venue, and the people at PBR and ERVA work great with us. Then we're going to come back the next morning, Tuesday, May 24th, 2022, and Jonah Smith and Jonathan Brumley are going to lead us off with some great engine company stuff, and then the godfather of the engine company, Bill Gustin, is going to finish that day, and it's going to be great. Wednesday, May 25th, the last day of the conference, Bill Gustin's going to come back that morning and keep you fired up, talking about more engine company stuff, specifically talking about some standpipe stuff, some suburban engine company stuff, like a lot of things that he's been perfecting over the years. Then James Johnson is going to give us an awesome talk about building construction, and then Basil Ibrahim is going to talk about, I believe his class is going to be on rapid intervention company stuff. So it's going to be something for everybody. Again, $175 for all of that. You can't beat that deal anywhere in the country. I dare you to try. But you don't want to wait too much longer, because we've already got about 150 to 200 registrations, and it is going to approach a sellout. It always does. It always is in the last couple weeks where they wait to the last minute and then they don't get the best price. Cause after these $175 registrations are gone, it goes up to $250. You don't need to wait. Don't pay $250, pay $175. So that you can see this awesome, awesome lineup at one of the best venues and one of the best values in the entire country. That's the Fireground Commander Conference, May 23rd through the 25th. On Monday, May 23rd, right after the conference ends, you're going to come over to our social event that we entitle Bullshitting Over Beers. Don't get offended about the name, but Bullshitting Over Beers, where we're going to be having a great venue. Families are encouraged. Everybody, bring your wife, bring your kids. It's an awesome venue, and we're going to be raffling off and raising money for the Central Virginia Burn Camp. All right, these are awesome speakers. It's an awesome venue. It's an awesome event. I'm so lucky that I get to be part of it. There's going to be swag. There's going to be raffles. We're going to be raffling off conferences. There's going to be all sorts of stuff. But you won't get to experience any of it if you don't register today. So go to embracetheresistance.com. Click on the menu button. Click the Fireground Commander tab. And get your registration done. May 23rd through the 25th, Henrico County, Virginia, Henrico Theater. Close to the airport, plenty of great hotels, awesome social venue, lunch provided every day. Don't know how you can beat it. Best value in the country. With that being said, you know how we do. Make sure you're spending 1 hour every day in the library, reading something about our job, watching a YouTube video, online training, do something. Make sure you're spending 1 hour a day in the gym, getting the physical fitness you need to perform the job that we all signed up to do. And make sure you're spending 1 hour a day doing hands-on training. It doesn't have to be this extravagant drill. Put your hands on the tools and equipment that we need to do our job. You do that, you'll become a pretty phenomenal firefighter. I guarantee it. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, but stay aggressive. Out.